As was indicated, our part of this symposium is to talk about a single word, apocalypsis. For the most part, we will discuss this word as it applies to our Lord's second presence. As outlined for our thoughts, we're going to divide our thoughts up into three sections. The first section, we will look at the definition of the word apocalypsis. Next, we will relate this word apocalypsis to the two salvations that we're all familiar with. Lastly, we will look at apocalypsis as it relates to our Lord's second presence and his work. Regarding the definition of this word, Bible students realize the benefit and importance of looking at the definition of an original Hebrew or Greek word used in translation to English. The true definition of an original Hebrew or Greek word gives us, in many cases, deeper insights into a verse. This is certainly the case with apocalypsis. This word is found in Strong's Concordance and is listed as word number 602 in this concordance. The word as defined by Strong's means disclosure. Disclosure means something is being revealed. Something was hidden and now it is to be revealed or disclosed. With attorneys, you often hear them say, "I want a full disclosure." In other words, they do not want anything kept hidden. They want to know all the facts. They want a full disclosure. This word apocalypsis comes from apocalypto. Apocalypto is word number 601 in Strong's. We like the definition of this word and feel it really gives insight into what happens during our Lord's second presence. The definition of apocalypto is to take the cover off, to take the cover off. For now, God has a cover on truth. We saw this at the Lord's first advent on earth. He spoke in parables because he did not want the casual Jewish world to know the mysteries of God. The mysteries were reserved for only his disciples and those rich in faith. The cover was on for the rest of the world that live in spiritual darkness. This leads us into our second point concerning the two salvations. A proper understanding of the two salvations and the proper understanding of apocalypsis go hand in hand. There is a salvation and apocalypsis for the church in advance of the world's salvation and apocalypsis. The key point is that God will have all men to be saved, either now or in the future. Jesus is a ransom for all to be testified in due time, meaning proper time. As this relates to apocalypto and apocalypsis, the cover comes off for all, but in two parts. The two uncoverings correspond to the two salvations. The first uncovering and salvation is for a select few during this gospel age. The select few or the church class understand the deep things or mysteries of God, whereas they are foolishness to the world. Let's read Paul's words on this in Romans 16:25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past. Paul is talking about a mystery that was kept hidden but then revealed to a select few. This word revelation in this text is our Greek word apocalypsis, meaning disclosure. The narrow way of consecration and sacrifice to God is what is being disclosed. It is an opportunity to have salvation now in advance of the world and to receive a special reward if faithful under trying conditions of sin and evil. Beyond our salvation and revelation, we see a salvation and revelation or disclosure coming to the world. In fact, we feel that this uncovering is just around the corner. Luke spoke of it in Luke 2:32, and it reads, "A light of revelation or disclosure to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." What a beautiful verse to show that Jesus will become a light to the Gentiles in the fullest sense and a glory to the people of Israel. This certainly shows a great uncovering and a great salvation. It shows that Israel will have their eyes open to Jesus. They will finally recognize him as their Messiah. They will make him their glory. In fact, we are waiting to see this salvation and revelation. And we read this in Corinthians 1:7, "So that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation or disclosure of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are eagerly awaiting it because this is the time that we will be with our Lord. It is the uncovering time, or the full revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a time for the salvation of the world. This brings us to our main point of discussion: how Apocalypse relates to our Lord's return. Simply put, the Apocalypse feature of our Lord's return means that the church is complete and it's time to start dealing with the world. There is an uncovering to the world, beginning with Israel. This uncovering is progressive in nature. We can pinpoint its start. The Bible tells us that it starts in the great time of trouble. Of course, this does not sound very nice, but ominous. There is nothing nice about Zephaniah 3:8. "Therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up as a witness. Indeed, my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation, all my burning anger, for all the earth will be devoured by the fire of my zeal." But as we know, verse 9 that follows verse 8 shows us what happens after this judgment time or revealment time of the old heavens and the old earth. Zephaniah 3:9 says, "For then I will give to the peoples purified lips, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord to serve him shoulder to shoulder." What we are saying, brethren, is that our Lord's second presence covers a long period of time. There is an invisible phase as it applies to the world, and there is also a visible phase as it applies to the world. During this visible phase or stage, the world still does not actually see Jesus and the church with their natural eyes. They see our Lord and the church with the mind's eye, the eye of understanding. There will be no mistake that they are reigning as people see sin punished and righteousness rewarded. There will be a progression of full disclosure as people walk up the highway of holiness. What are the events that occur during this revealment phase for the world? Well, we said there is the great time of trouble, the great time of trouble. What is the purpose of this trouble? Let's read 2 Thessalonians 1:7. "And to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed or disclosed from heaven and his mighty angels in flaming fire. This is a symbolic fire. Literal flames do not come down from heaven. The flames are flames of trouble and destruction against this present evil order consisting of religion, government, society, and financial. Babylon receives double for her iniquity and suffers greatly, but quickly. The governments of this world suffer as they unite against God's people, Israel, in Israel. This is Jacob's trouble, and the world will learn from the flaming fire of judgment that they made a mistake when they encircled Jerusalem. They will finally learn that going against Israel was the wrong thing to do. Men will be weeping as they throw their worthless money into the streets. The flames of judgment will be against our financial systems of this world. There will be no more emergency loans or loan reductions by the International Monetary Fund. This system will be dissolved. Out of this trouble, Jesus and the church will be revealed, in symbolic flaming fire. Man's extremity will be God's opportunity to manifest Christ Jesus and the church as the new rulers. Out of this will come a time of restitution and refreshing. Wars, murders, and character assassinations will cease as mankind will see sin in all of this. There is no uncovering of Jesus Christ now. Truth is fully present in this harvest time, as Bible students and others manifest it, but the world does not understand it. Satan is doing his best to cover and to corrupt the truth that the Lord provides. So not only will the Lord be revealed, but Satan will be revealed as that great deceiver, that great liar and murderer. Another significant event is the revealment of the Antichrist system. Brother Bill mentioned this. We're going to use 2 Thessalonians 2:8 also. Then the lost one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. We know that this lawless one is the man of sin, or the Antichrist. It is a system that has persecuted the saints and promoted false doctrine. This system taught an alternate path from God's prescribed way of touching lightly the things of this world. We can say that the Christian world does not fully understand what is going on now and why they are being shaken with trouble. It is because of the bright shining of our Lord. But during this last shaking, during this last phase of the time of trouble, it will be revealed to them that the Lord is shaking them. It will be a total revealment. It will be revealed that these tear systems are being destroyed by the breath of our Lord. Of course, as we said earlier, key to all this is the revealment of Jesus and the church. Let's talk about Jesus. What is going to be revealed about Jesus? Well, he will be revealed as the arm of Jehovah. And we read this in Isaiah 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. The Lord God is Jehovah, but he acts through his Son. Jesus is the arm of Jehovah that reigns. His reign is a reward for his faithfulness and death on the cross. The reward and work will last throughout the whole kingdom as the Lord shepherds mankind. Jesus will reveal God and righteousness to mankind during this time. It is important to note that the church will also be revealed as a key part of our Lord's reward, along with the reward of restoring mankind. And Peter talks about this revealment regarding the church in several places. Let's read 1 Peter 1:5. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed or disclosed in the last time. And then 1 Peter 4:13. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation or uncovering of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. Yes, we will be with our Lord, sharing with him the glory and also rejoicing with exaltation. The world will start to rejoice with exaltation, beginning with Israel. And this leads us to our next point. Israel and the holy remnant will be revealed at this time. There are so many scriptures on this, but we will just quote a few from Isaiah to summarize our points. Isaiah 66:15. For behold, the Lord will come in fire, and his chariots like the whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For the Lord will execute judgment by fire and by his sword on all flesh, and those slain by the Lord will be many. Verse 19, I will set a sign among them and will send survivors from them to the nations, Tarshish, Put, Lud, Meshach, Tubal, Javan, to the distant coastlands that have neither heard my fame nor seen my glory, and they will declare my glory among the nations. We're going to back up now to verse 10. Be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice for her. All you who love her, be exceedingly glad with her, all you who mourn over her. Verse 12. For thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you will be nursed, you will be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. What does this sequence of verses tell us, brethren? A holy remnant out of Israel will be saved in this final battle of the world against God and his chosen desires. In this, Israel will be saved and revealed as God's chosen people. This miraculous deliverance will be revealed to all. All shall know it as the survivors go back to their homes, in verse 19, and convey it to the people. Notice that there will be a mourning time. Israel and the world will both mourn. Mourning is the beginning of a great healing and restoring work. It is interesting to note that God is actually revealing Israel to all at this present time, but no one is catching on. It takes a final onslaught of trouble for the world to realize what is happening. Then she, Israel, becomes a channel for blessing, as indicated in verse 12. In closing, we like to point out a few scriptures that pertain to the uncovering or revealment at the start of the kingdom versus the end of the kingdom. And let's read Isaiah 30, verse 26. The light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be seven times brighter, like the light of 7 days. On the day the Lord binds up the fracture of his people and heals the bruise he has inflicted. This is at the end of the millennial age. The light of the moon is the new covenant, and it will be as bright as the sun. In other words, everyone will understand it, and it will be written into their hearts. The light of the sun will also be great. This is the knowledge of God and His Son. Habakkuk says that the knowledge of the Lord will be as the waters cover the seas. It will be complete and nothing lacking. Of course, there is light at the beginning of the kingdom. The light will be great as Jesus and the church are revealed and as they teach righteousness. But the light at the end of the millennial age will be seven times greater as the Lord binds up the fracture of His people and heals their bruises. From this, we can say that the millennial age will be divided up into seven periods or days. The light at the end of these periods will be seven times greater than at the beginning. The light will be cumulative as generation after generation comes forth out of the tomb as they learn righteousness. Another thought on this, showing the importance of God in all this, is found in Isaiah 60, verse 19. It reads, "No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory." The word Lord here is capitalized, referring to Jehovah. So this verse is emphasizing the role of Jehovah when mankind is perfect and back in harmony with God. God will be looked at as the true source of light. It will outshine everything, or He will outshine everything. People will realize that salvation was through God's wisdom, love, justice, and power. Jesus will turn the kingdom back over to the Father, and the Father will be all in all. God is the source of light, and people will turn to this light. In summary, brethren, what can we say about the revealment stage of our Lord's presence, the apocalypse? It will be a wonderful time, even if it begins with the great time of trouble. It will be a wonderful time for those who want righteousness, not a wonderful time for those who are unrighteous. Psalms is very clear on this point. Psalms 37:9, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." To this end, we pray for the kingdom when God reveals all. Let's close with one more verse on revealment, but we're going to use an Old Testament verse that pertains to revealment and full disclosure. Isaiah 45, chapter 40, verse 5. "Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." May the Lord add His blessing.